Today we're going to kick off 3 weeks of talking about health, mental and emotional health. If you're taking notes today, just write at the top of your notes this message title. Write down, Curing Someone's Sickness. Curing Someone's Sickness. We're going to get to it in just a moment. If you are new with us today, up to this point in the service, you've probably figured out a couple things. One, they like to sing. Okay, that's true. And you're probably thinking, I'm not sure what's about to happen next, but I know the singing was good. And then we gave. But I want you to know that there, this thing you've probably been sensing is true, that there is something different happening here, something unique to what you'll experience in every other public gathering throughout your week. The unique thing is that there are people in this room who have a real relationship with God. It's not something made up or imaginary. It's not something fake or emotion-driven. There are people who have really been adopted by the Lord. They've really been transformed and blessed by him. They've really been redeemed and restored and set free. And I'm so thankful because if you're in the room today, if you're catching up with this service online, it means that God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And by joining us today, you can feel safe to open your heart, open your mind, and say, God, who are you? Reveal yourself to me. This is a safe place to hear a dangerous message. Trinity is a safe place to hear a very dangerous message, and I believe God's going to apply it to your heart today. This series is called Mental Morphosis, and as we look at mental and emotional renewal, we want your heart and mind to be thrumming with a single-minded focus on the glory of God. Simplified, clarified, my whole life, everything I feel, everything I think, to be oriented one direction, the glory of God. God be glorified in me, be glorified in my relationships, be glorified in my resources, be glorified in the world. Everything in me would just be aligned and connected. And I love that word, thrumming. Oh, I say it too much, but I love it. It's just everything would resonate in the same direction and align together. It's an energizing thought when everything, nothing's contradictory inside your soul, but everything is submitted and surrendered to the Lord. Now, our emotions and our thoughts are connected, and they're connected to God's word. They're not always driven by our faith, and sometimes they're at war within us. So each week of the next 3 weeks leading up towards Easter, we're just gonna be looking at something different that will bring into alignment in our hearts with God's word. Romans 12 tells us that we are called to constant transformation by fixing our minds on Christ. Those old lies and worldly patterns of thought have got to go. Anxiety, it's got to go. Comparison, it's got to go. Worry, it's got to go. And so as we jump in, I just pray that God would speak to you right where you're at and give you strength and give you healing from the inside out. The original mental illness is envy. In scripture, the first, the primary mental health struggle that we see is Satan's envy of God. You may say, well, I thought that was actually pride or maybe fear. They're all connected, they're all interconnected, but the Bible shows that envy is the activity of pride. Galatians 5:26 says, don't become proud, provoking and envying each other, right? If I am proud, I will envy. And then we see it in 1 Corinthians 13 in the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind. You know what it says? It says, love is not proud, it does not envy, right? They're connected together, pride and envy. Let me define envy for you today. Envy, aka someone's sickness, it's this comparison emotion that desires to be like someone else, specifically to have what someone else has so that you can be satisfied. It is a highly contagious thing that permeates the sinful nature. Eve was envious of God, Cain envies Abel, Sarah envies Hagar, Joseph's brothers envy him, Saul envies David. Someone's sickness is an infection that has touched the human condition and plays out in each of our souls. It's not always a self diagnosed thing. I don't think it's a popular thing for people to say, I'm envious, I am so envious. But there are fruits that are undeniable of envy, and we're going to get into them today to help us self-diagnose. And it's ugly. Man, envy's ugly. There's a reason that the New Testament continues to hit it over and over and over and over again. Rid yourself of envy. Rid yourself of envy. Get envy out of your heart. It's usually right at the beginning of Paul's epistle list of the sinful nature fruits. He says you got to get these out of you, and envy's right there at the beginning. I saw envy come out in a really ugly, ugly, ugly way in myself just about 16 months ago when we adopted our daughter. We were in Thailand, and we had, if you don't know some of our journey with that, man, it was disrupted, it was long, it was like 5.5, 6 years of this adoption journey. COVID happened, all kinds of struggles along the way, and finally, we got there, and we had the chance to spend a day with Miriam's foster parents. Amazing opportunity, getting to just spend time with these people who had taken 3.5 years of Miriam's life and cared for her, and they struggled to make ends meet, but they provided for her, and they were getting her ready for us. That finish line kept getting pushed out, and they were just faithful. They were faithful, and they were faithful. And so we were kind of overwhelmed with the opportunity to say thank you and express our gratitude to them. We went to their home, and we spent time with them. We brought them ceremonial gifts from their culture. We brought them gifts from our culture. We actually brought gifts for all the kids in the neighborhood. It was a bunch of homes kind of near each other in a village, and they all kind of did life together. So we brought just stuff for like 40 kids. And just brought a whole suitcase and just emptied it out. And man, it was a special time. We had 100 questions for them. We wanted to share our faith with them. But at the same time, I observed Miriam with her foster dad. She was so playful with him. She was so tight with him. And her and I had not yet established any attachment, any trust, any intimacy. We weren't really communicating yet. I was communicating at her. She was just staring at me blankly quite a bit. And I saw where their relationship had gotten to. And I should have been, and I wanted to be, so thankful for the love that he had invested and poured in. But man, when I saw her cuddling up with him and hugging him and touching him, something in me leapt out, and I didn't do anything, but he was a short man with a mustache, and I wanted to hug him and at the same time just pull his mustache out and just like, can we like just take a photo together, but also can we go fight like outside? Because that's just how I felt. And I pulled Candace aside and I said, I'm really struggling right now because I'm envious of where their relationship already is, where ours will be, but it's not there yet. Envy is ugly. You can have bad feelings towards good people doing good things. And envy can destroy your peace and swallow you whole. In the camp of the Israelites in the Old Testament, there was envy of Moses and Aaron's ministry to the people. So, and it says clearly, they were envious of them. So they rose against them, and then the ground swallowed them whole. That is an illustration for envy in our lives. Envy can swallow you whole. And so I just want to break it down a little bit today and really understand what this problematic issue is. James 3, 14 through 16 says, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Why is disorder connected to envy? Because envy is defiance and rebellion against God's order. He gives to each, and we're saying, no, God, no. I don't want what you've given me. I want what you've given them. God, you've made a mistake. That's why where there's envy, there's disorder and there's evil, because we are defying God's order. Our culture's definitions of envy and jealousy are kind of interchangeable. You probably grew up just thinking like, yeah, jealousy and envy, they're the same thing. And I did too. But you know, biblically, they really aren't. Biblically, I just want to take a moment this morning and redeem jealousy for you. Jealousy is a holy emotion. It's a divine attribute of God. It's broken, distorted, corrupted version is envy. But jealousy itself is a holy, divine attribute of God. It's arguably the primary ascription of God throughout the biblical canon, the jealousy of God, his burning desire for exclusive relationship with his people is relentlessly agitated by idolatry and unfaithfulness to their covenant agreements. Augustine said this, "He who is not jealous is not in love." Can you imagine, just in your mind right now, someone flirting with your significant other and you not caring? Oh, that's fine. Can you imagine someone was flirting with you and your spouse or your significant other didn't care? It'd be like, hey, does this mean nothing to you? Is there nothing here to preserve? Now, jealousy is very natural because God has created in our love, in our romantic relationship, a covenant for it to exist in. And inside of that covenant, there are blessings. I want my wife to be blessed. I know that blessing exists inside of this covenant commitment. So I know that if there's any person trying to flirt with her, I'm going to be jealous for her and oppose that rival because I want her to be blessed. It's not just about me. It's not a selfish emotion, but jealousy is about God's will, being jealous for what God has for us. You know, God's affections are controlled and they are consistently demonstrated. God's not out here, you know, taking a Louisville Slugger to both headlights. He's not trying to key somebody's car in jealous rage. That's not how God demonstrates emotion. His emotions are consistently demonstrated, always serving the overarching purposes of redemption and restoration. God's anger, God's compassion, God's jealousy, they're always in service of redemption, always in service of restoration. Divine jealousy is always concerned with protecting his creatures from anything that would undermine their well-being and ultimate salvation. Here's what the word says about God's jealousy. "They made me jealous with what is no God." He's talking about idols. "They provoked him and they moved him to jealousy with their idols. You will call me my husband and no longer will you call me my Baal. I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. For I feel a divine jealousy for you since I betrothed you to one husband." Envy is this distortion of jealousy and admiration. And I just kind of want to do a comparison for a moment today to help you understand what these look like next to each other. And I got to do this with great thanks to Martha Nussbaum. She is a Jewish theologian, and she writes prolifically about the emotions of God. And she did this, a few of these thoughts she had spelled out, and I really enjoyed them. I also got to give credit to a man named Aaron Ben-Zaev, because he wrote about this topic too, and it really blessed me. Okay, jealousy and envy, side by side, let's look at them. Jealousy is rooted in rightful possession and enjoyment. Something has a claim to something else. God has a claim to you. He's your creator. Envy is about wrongful possession or enjoyment. This thing is for someone else, but I want it. Jealousy has a purpose, and that purpose is another's glory and well-being. Envy's purpose is my glory, my well-being, my pleasure. Jealousy is all about exclusivity. This is something that shouldn't be shared. This is something that's been designated, carved out. The boundary lines have fallen in a pleasant place. This is my lane. This is what God has for me. This is what God has for you. It's fueled by love. It's fueled by love. Man, I want you to enjoy all that God has for you. I want me to enjoy all that God has for me. And it is selfless. We're going to get into how it gives in just a moment. But envy is a comparison emotion. It's fueled by lust, and it is selfish. Jealousy, the way we talk about jealousy is like this. We are jealous for. We're jealous for. The way we talk about envy is we're envious of. And jealousy is always dignifying and personifying people. Envy is always objectifying, taking away the humanity from somebody. You are just an obstacle for me. You have what I want. You're not a person that God loves. You're an obstacle. Now, jealousy is just and controlled, while envy is prejudiced and wild. Jealousy says this, says, I have a right to what God gives me, while envy says, I have a right to what God has given others. Jealousy, it says, I want to be with you. Envy says, I want to replace you. Jealousy leads to giving, and envy leads to taking. I'm jealous for my calling because it's God's. It's all about God's glory. I'm jealous for your calling. I want you to be walking in your calling. Why? Well, I love you, yes, but I love God. And your calling is about glorifying God. It's not about me. My calling is not about me. It's about God. I'm jealous for God to have what he deserves, to have what is due him. I want God to be glorified. I want him to be worshiped and praised. I want him to be lifted high on the tongues, on the lips of every person on the planet because he deserves it. And I'm jealous for you to have that redemption and restoration God has for you, to receive all that God has for you, and for God to get the glory that he is worthy of from you. The reality is, church, that we're not jealous enough. We're not jealous enough. We aren't as jealous as we should be. And we're going to come back to that. Jealousy, we said, it leads to giving. It says, I will give so that other people can have what God has for them. Wow. I'm so jealous for you to have what God has for you that I will give my offering to see the gospel preached to you. That I will invest into the next generation so Gen Z and Gen Alpha can experience the truth of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit at a young age because I'm jealous for them. That's what jealousy is. Now, envy will take so that I can have what God deserves or what another deserves. Let's look at how envy shows up in our hearts, and then let's let the Bible walk down our street. Envy, again, it's not often claimed, but the fruits are obvious. Let's check this chart out, and we can self-diagnose, oh, that's me, or oh, I do that. And you'll be able to see maybe how envy plays itself out in your life. Now, on this chart, there's an x-axis, the blue line, and a y-axis, the green line. And the y-axis, it's about focus. If you're focused on the good that's being possessed or enjoyed, or if you're focused on the person that is enjoying or possessing it. The x-axis here, it's whether or not you feel like that good can be obtained for you. If it's possible, if you perceive that it's possible, it'll drift you over here. If you think, I really want that, but it's impossible for me to have it, it'll drift you over there. Now, all four of these quadrants are going to be different types of envy, and they're all wrong. They're all bad. They're all distortions of jealousy. We're going to get to that in a minute. Okay, first off, we're just going to walk through them all. First one, top right corner, is imitation envy. Imitation envy, that says, I'm focused on the good thing that you have, and I believe it's possible for me to have it, so I am going to copy you, clone you, simulate you to get the good that you enjoy. You might back off there and say, isn't that good? Isn't seeing something in someone else that motivates you to action, motivates you to self-improvement, isn't that a good thing? Emulating is a good thing, but simulating is saying, I want the good that God has for you, not the good that God has for me. I'm going to do what you're doing, not what God's called me to do. I am going to try to live my life getting your blessings, having your ministry, living your life, copying that into my life, rather than pursuing the lane that God's called me into. So this is scary. This is just a distortion of good jealousy, but it's simulating, it's that imitation envy. And can I just remind you that God has called you to be you? God has a plan and a purpose, a good plan and a good purpose for you, as you. He's excited about you. Here's another type of envy. This is aggressive envy. And it's where we feel like the good that's being possessed or enjoyed is is possible for me to attain, but I'm not focused on the good. I'm focused on the person enjoying it. And it leads me to steal what you have so that I can enjoy it. This is, this is a little bit of Jacob and Esau story from the Bible. So we have simulating. Now down here we have stealing. If you have spiteful envy where you're focused on the person enjoying a good, but you don't feel like it's possible for you to obtain it, you will begin to sabotage and be spoiling someone's good. And then I'll walk through this with an illustration. And then up here we see inert envy. That means, man, I'm focused on that good thing, but it's just not possible for me to enjoy it. And then the action becomes sulking. So you may not have walked in the room today and be like, yeah, I'm envious. But you could look up at this wall and say, sometimes I am sulking. Sometimes I am trying to spoil the good someone else is enjoying, passive aggressively making little comments rather than celebrating and applauding the victory of others. Maybe I am, rather than pursuing God and what he has, maybe I'm so focused on others and what they have, I'm trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm trying to simulate. I'm just trying to be that a compilation of my favorite five people I follow on Instagram, rather than pursuing what God has for me. Or maybe you're down here and you're just out there to steal. The way I was explaining this earlier this week to some of our young people was, let's say that your friend has a girlfriend and they're dating that girlfriend, or if you're a lady, let's say they have a boyfriend, and you see that relationship and you're like, wow, I really, really like that person that they're dating. I'm gonna try to steal them so they can be my girlfriend. Okay, that is aggressive envy, and it's trying to steal. Now, maybe you try and you fail, and the girl's like rejected, absolutely not. And then you just want to spoil their relationship. So, hey, I can't have that relationship. I'm just going to ruin it for you. I'm just going to gossip about you. I'm going to lie about it. I'm going to say negative thing. I'm going to do whatever I can to ruin your relationship. I'm spoiling. And maybe the spoiling doesn't work, and now I'm just sulking because it couldn't happen for me, and I couldn't even ruin your fun. And then the other type up here is simulating. It's saying, man, I want to have the exact same relationship that you have. Rather than pursuing the pathway God has for me, I'm just gonna do everything you do. All of these are different types of envy that get us out of our lane, that get us out of our calling. And these are the effects that they have. Here's the four effects of envy. First is disbelief. Envy fuels unbelief in the good plans God has for us. Psalm 73 says, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, man, I would have betrayed your children, God. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. But when I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood my final destiny. You see, when you are living in envy, not with your eyes on what God has for you and God's good word and good plans and promises to you, but you're just focused on others, you start to lose belief and faith in what God has called you to. Then when you get in the presence of God, the cure for this type of disbelief, this effect of envy, is being jealous for God's presence. You get with the Lord, you spend time with the Lord every day, you sense his great love for you, you read his word and you're reminded of his great purpose for you and the great story that he is writing with you in it, you get excited again. All of a sudden, Jeremiah 29:11 makes sense again. Oh yeah, you are trying to prosper me, God. You do have good plans for me, for a hope and for a future. For humanity, God's jealousy for us, it's the bedrock of our value, of our intrinsic value, his originating desire to even create us and his great love for us, that's where we derive our self-worth from. That's why we have self-esteem and personal value. You know, when you are not focused on God and connecting with him daily, you will drift and you'll start to chase other goods. when you chase other goods, not the good plans God has for you, but you chase other people's goods, you'll begin to chase other people's gods. And it's important that we trust, that we learn to develop trust by spending time with God every day, by being jealous for his presence, that we trust that what God has for me is mine. What God has for you is yours. In envy, people feel threatened by the fear of losing something. But what God gives, no man can take away. What God gives you, what God has for you is yours. No one else can have it. No one else can take it. What he has for you is yours. We have to trust him and believe him. So the first effect, it's disbelief. Second effect of envy is distraction. Envy leads to double-minded thinking or two-lane running, right? I'm running in my lane, but I'm looking at your lane, and I really like what's in your lane, and I try to start running in both lanes, start grabbing from both lanes, receiving blessings from both. You look at your lane, and it just has hurdles, and you look at somebody else's lane, and it looks like a moving walkway, just a parade with buffet lines on both sides, and it seems wonderful. The grass is way greener over there, and so what happens is envy comes in, and envy stirs up this narcissism in us that says, I deserve what God's given you. I have more of a right to what you have than you do. I deserve that. This fuels injustice. When we live with that type of envy and we overreach, and then often, instead of correcting and rebuking overreach when it happens, we would rather retaliate. Instead of correcting it, we want to overcorrect. And your people hurt my people, so now I'm going to mistreat you, and it continues and continues and continues. Envy stirs up cross-cultural fear, violence, and prejudice time and time and time again. Paul had a situation in ministry where there were people sabotaging his ministry. They were envious of him. And Paul was in prison. And while Paul was in prison, they are just running his name through the mud. He can't speak. He's bald. He's overweight. Where's he at right now? Jail? They're just running his name through the mud. Paul calls them the super apostles in 2 Corinthians. But he could have retaliated against them. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. So he starts out by saying, hey, first of all, I love you. You're not my competition. You're my companions. I love you. I love the church. I love this people. I promised you to one husband to Christ so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit other than the spirit you received, or a different gospel than the one you accepted, you put up with it too easily. I do not think I am in the least inferior to these super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. So he starts out by saying, I'm jealous for you. Not envious of them. I'm jealous for you. And then he wraps it up by saying, I don't consider myself inferior to them. We're going to come back to that in just a second. Inferiority, superiority, that's the fuel of envy. To stay in my lane, I need to love my lane. I need to fall in love with my lane. And to love my lane, I don't need to sanction and narrow your lane. I just need to love my lane. I just need to develop a heart of gratitude. And I need God to increase my jealousy for my lane, for the life he's given me, for the calling he has for me. Envy happens when we're focused on what we don't have instead of what we do have. Start thanking God for your portion in this life. What a great word in scripture. That's a word you need to have in your prayer language and in your worship. My portion, my portion. God has given me a portion. A heart of gratitude is great medicine for a bad day. It's great medicine for a bitter mood. Psalm 16 says it this way, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in those pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. It continues on, and it says, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. David is singing here, and he is in love with his lane. God, thank you for this lane you've given me. Thank you for my portion. So we want God to increase our jealousy for our lane. We want him to increase our jealousy for his presence. And the third thing that envy does is it brings depression. It's the third effect. It depresses your enthusiasm to do good works. You begin to sulk. You begin to spoil because you're only focused on the good works others are doing. God has good works that he has prepared for you to do. You become that Eeyore just playing a violin, marching down that sad lot in life. But God is excited about his work in you right where you are with just what you have. God's excited. God's excited. God is excited. God's excited about your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday. God is excited. He's excited about this semester, not just everything after the diploma. He's excited about the preparation time. God's excited about the waiting season, the IVF. God's excited about that pregnancy journey, not just when your home's filled with laughter. He's excited about the right now. He's excited about your come up, your journey, your process, your difficulty, every season. God's excited about it. And we're able to internalize that excitement for ourselves because when we realize that God has prepared good works for me and I'm excited about the work of God, then I can be excited about my work to fall in line with him because he's getting glorified. You are an ambassador bringing Christ's authority and power to your work. Now, when we're talking about depression, if you have a chemical imbalance, you need a therapist, you need some treatment for that, you need some. You know, I'm not anti-Lexapro, I'm not anti-Zoloft, but can I tell you that there's no milligram amount, there's no dosage you can take of a chemical balancing drug that will replace those bad lies in your thinking? You still need good thinking, right? You still need a mind fixed on Jesus. There's those lies of envy that will bankrupt your significance. And you still need to weed those out. And when you do, and praise God, the flesh can be weak, but the spirit can still be willing, right? I can be low on sleep today, and I'm still rich in purpose. I can be frustrated with my relationships at home, and I can be, I can be maybe annoyed or exasperated at home, but I'm still rich in purpose there. Maybe I can be frustrated with my boss, but still rich in purpose at work. Why? Because God has prepared good works for me to do there. And his works are good works are daily. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. We need to have an increased jealousy for God's work, those good works he's prepared for us to do. God, increase my jealousy for your work. And then the fourth effect that envy has on us is a diminished ability. Envy diminishes our ability to encourage other people. And if you're taking notes today, what I really want you to catch is this. Earlier we said, we're jealous for things, we're envious of people and envious of things. When we bring envy into our minds and hearts, we begin to evaluate every relationship we have in this prism of inferior or superior. Everyone we know, they become competition, not companions. When we look around this room, when we think about the relationships God's given us, you are my companions, not my competition. The problem with turning your neighbor into a competitor rather than a companion is you can't spur someone on and trip them at the same time. What I'm saying is you can't be jealous for someone and envious of them at the same time. If you want to have ministry, if you want to have an effect in their life, you need to recognize what God has given them and be jealous for them to have it, for jealous for them to experience all the goodness of God. Then you can be an encouragement to them. Then you can fill their sails with wind. Then you can be in relationship with them, see them prosper, and not have a sour heart, not have a spoiled heart. If you struggle wholeheartedly sharing in the joy of others' successes, or if you struggle in wholeheartedly supporting people in their losses, you got to deal with that spiteful envy, spoiling others' good. You want to be someone joyful. You don't want to sour their joy. Say, God, help me be a cheerleader. Lord, help me be someone who has the ability to encourage people. How do I, in a materialistic age that I'm living in, that's just pelted with advertising all day long, and in a TikTok age that's just hitting me with comparison on all sides, how do I live a life that is free of envy? You need to say, God, increase my jealousy for others, for them to know you and experience you and have what you have for them. Here's the verse we read at the beginning today, James 3, 14 through 16. Here's how it wraps up in verse 17. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. First of all pure. We need God to purify our hearts. Envy, the wisdom of envy, was earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. That's what James said. Now he's saying the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Guard your admiration from covetousness. When you're scrolling through your feeds, if your heart starts to drift out of a place of admiration or inspiration, but starts to drift into covetousness, whether it's aggressive or whether it's simulating or inert, any of those types of envy, you need to guard your heart. If you start judging people as superior or inferior or seeping towards ill will towards those folks, remember those four types of envy. That's why we did this study today, this teaching, so that you can identify them in yourself and turn to prayer, gratitude, and trust. God, increase my jealousy for you. I'm jealous for your presence. I want to spend time with you. I want to talk to you, God. God, increase my jealousy for the good works you have for me to do. Help me trust that you do have good plans and good purposes. God, increase my jealousy for others, for them to experience the redemptive plan that you've been writing out for them. We're able to then say, I'm jealous for the whole earth to be filled with God's glory. I'm jealous for God to be glorified in every soul, my heart and mind thrumming with a single purpose, glory on the move. God be glorified. Would you stand with me today? It's a simple teaching. I want to close out today with a scripture and ask you to pray something with me. Lamentations 3:24 says, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You may be in a place where you have a desire to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living more than you are experiencing in this season. Well, you need to first reclaim your worship and praise in this season. Reclaim your thanksgiving and gratitude in this season. Reclaim that now. But wait patiently and seek him. If God's put a dream in your heart, if he's put something in you that you think is way down the road in your lane, but you can't see it yet, just wait on him, trust him, be patient, and seek him. The Lord is my portion. Not the Lord and, the Lord is my portion. He's all I need. When I'm satisfied with the Lord, I can just keep taking step after step to glorify him. I'll get everything he has for me. I'm just gonna fix my heart and focus on him. Before we pray together, I just want to tell you this quick story. Candace grew up in a church that went through a church split, and it was vicious and nasty, as a lot of church splits are, and it had to do with financial integrity and accountability, and when things were called out, there was division, church split off. Candace's family went with the new church. After a while, they kind of rooted in there. But they were just realizing that there was a lot of people who had a lot of hurt in their heart. They had given a lot to the church. They'd invested a lot into the church. It was their community, a lot of friendships. Things were broken. Things were said. There's a lot of hurt and bitterness. And they began to realize it was holding the people back from experiencing the Holy Spirit. It was holding the people back from ministering to others from the power of God. So they decided to have a prayer meeting, and they decided to pray for every other church in town. Every church. We're just going to take all night. We're just going to pray for, not us, for everybody else. And they made a commitment to never speak a bad word about that prior situation in that previous church. In the forgiveness, in the release, in the wholeness, what happened was God was doing what James 3:17 says, that the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving, and restored to their heart a focus on what God had for them, not on what was going on with everybody else. So I want to encourage you, you may be in that place. You might be in this room and you're carrying brokenness from X, Y, or Z. Pray. Pray for this. It's hard to be in competition with and angry at people that you're praying for. So pray for them. Pray for them. And I believe God is going to help root out envy from our souls. He is jealous for you. First and foremost, as we go to prayer, know that God loves you with a jealous love. You are made for him. There's something about your soul when he stitched it together is only for Jesus. If you don't know him today, I want to invite you to just say, God, come into my life. I want to belong to you. It's as simple as that. I'll follow you. I submit to you. Your ways are higher than my ways. Forgive me of all my sin and reunite us. Reconcile us in the power of your blood. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us, to pay our debt and to open a way back to him. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to root out this thing that's plagued mankind since the Garden of Eden. Jesus, even since Lucifer, God, opposed you and wanted your glory for himself. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us, God, be living for your glory, not our own. Lord, root out pride from our hearts that would lead us to expressing envy. Lord, for that person that is spiteful or aggressive in their envy, God, someone who is just looking for themselves, Lord, because they've been simulating others for way too long. God, I pray that you would give them a clear vision of the promise you have for them, of the calling on their life, Lord, and you would help them walk by faith, seeking only you, God. And God, you would give them all the blessings you have for them. Lord, let us be jealous for your presence. Let us be jealous for others. And God, let us be jealous to know you more than we do today. We love you so much, Jesus. Increase our jealousy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And let's worship together.